If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So on Friday, we had Pharmacy Group Dis-Chem. They reported their earnings, their interim earnings, and they reported that they were rather up 6.3%. And we did see the share price trade a little over 2% lower on Friday morning. But what we're not going to talk about is not so much the numbers.
Hey, guys.
Per se, is we're going to be talking about strategy going forward with Rui Morais, who is the CEO of Dis-Chem. And the reason, we'll touch a little bit on the numbers, but we're not going to focus too much on them because the market has digested the numbers, etc. We're going to talk about some of the interesting aspects that they are focusing on as it relates to Dis-Chem. And Rui just joined us on the line. But an interesting article that came out a little bit earlier on is RMB Morgan Stanley saying that South Africa is improving economic prospects after years of lackluster growth will result in better fiscal metrics, and this may lead to an upgrade of its junk-rated debt. And they were referring here to the positive sentiment that has been built up since the formation of a governing coalition with business-friendly parties. But they also talk about some of the reforms that were undertaken by President Cyril Ramaphosa during his first term as president that have boosted the outlook and triggered a wave of investment by multinationals, as well as the rallies that we've seen in the not just the rand but the bond, but also the general stock index. And we've been talking about that with our analysts over the past couple of months or so in terms of what we're seeing around that side. And they're citing here one of the economists saying that South Africa stands out as the fastest improving fiscal story. And this is across Morgan Stanley's emerging market scope of coverage. So we'll come back to that particular article and I'll go through some of the parts that do stand out. But let's go back to that conversation that we were going to have with Rui Morais, who is the CEO of Dis-Chem. Rui, just checking if you can hear us.
I can. I hope you guys can hear me.
Yes, we can. That's perfect. So I mentioned to the listeners that, you had your earnings come out on Friday and the market has digested that. But there were aspects that you were talking around, when it comes to strategy that I found quite fascinating. And I think some of those aspects, especially when we look at the consumer side, especially a value conscious consumer, we're not just seeing it from the Dis-Chem side of things, but we're also seeing it from the other food retailers as well. Talk to me about what you're seeing from your side of things when it comes to that value-conscious consumer.
Sure. So I think you're right. I mean, if you think about how I laid out the strategy 18 months ago, I mean, at the center of the strategy is health deployment, and it's health deployment through value creation. So I think ultimately we need to expect that the consumer is going to search for value, and you need to solve for that sustainably. So you need to solve and create value for consumers sustainably. So not through a promotional type lens, traditional retail, but you've actually got to open up space in their wallet to invest in our case, invest in healthcare. So centered around our strategy is this mandate of delivering healthcare at a lower cost, increasing access. And to enable that, you need to open up and create value for the consumers.
I love that part about increasing access to healthcare, and we'll talk about it in a bit. The one thing we have seen over the years is this drive around those who are in your space and also the retailers as well when they think about loyalty points and, understanding certain aspects around the customer. How are you reimagining the purpose of loyalty? And when you look at the data that you're extracting around the customer and trying to, fulfill their needs, what are you learning about your customer?
So, I mean, it's a question we could debate for a long time. But I guess in summary, I think you need to move us, or certainly we need to move away from loyalty being defensive. And what I mean by that is, you don't want to be the wallet that sits in someone's card that gets taken out as and when they're in your channel. You want to be a loyalty program that changes the direction of your foot traffic, so something that is of significant value that makes you consider, why am I shopping in this environment versus that environment? To enable that, you have to create value. So loyalty, in my opinion, is a fundamental unlock to how people think about value and how you create value as a retailer. And the way that we've done that, I mean, we've launched Extra, which is a rewards program for our policyholder base. I'm obviously reimagining how that potentially rolls out into the broader audience, which is the entirety of our loyalty base. But certainly in that policy base, what we've seen is, and this is a consumer who is shopping a medical insurance product, so a typically mid-LSM type consumer, what you're seeing is not necessarily their wallets growing and the ability to shop more in healthcare, but we are trapping the entirety of their healthcare shop. So we're seeing their visits increase from 11 to 16 times. We're seeing 67% more increase in their spend in our environment. And that's purely because we've opened up and created value for them if they come into our channel. And I think you need to move away from thinking about loyalty defensively, and you need to think about loyalty proactively into that value creation type concept that I spoke about previously.
One of the things that stuck out to me during your results presentation on Friday were some of the opportunities that you highlighted as it relates to the NHI. Talk to me through in terms of what you're seeing around that healthcare ecosystem that's providing an opportunity from the standpoint of Dis-Chem.
Sure. So, I mean, I think our mandate as the Dis-Chem group is not far off the mandate of NHI. I mean, universal healthcare is an important concept. I think healthcare as a principle, as a human right, it's a basic human right. Everyone should experience it. And I think it's important to understand that there requires collaboration between the private sector and the state sector to enable that. If you think about the one instance where collaboration was forced, and I say forced because it was during the pandemic, and South Africa responded appropriately. I mean, probably one of the best responses in the world. But what the result of that was a collaboration that was forced between state and private. And when we collaborated, we delivered what the response was, and we delivered a good response. I think NHI, as much as it's longer term, I think it needs the same type of thought process, and people need to appreciate that that's the way that to solve it. I mean, the private sector has underutilized capacity. So if you look at clinics, pharmacies, hospitals, the private sector has invested in capacity. Those costs are sunk. It's underutilized, and the state is overburdened from a capacity perspective. So logically, you know, one needs to rely on the other. And we need to find a mechanism that allows and encourages that. So servicing NHR from a private sector perspective is vitally important. The other thing that I think is sometimes taken for granted is the administration of healthcare. That consumption of healthcare, as you route people through the healthcare supply chain, is a complex. It's a complex administrative environment. The private sector has solved for the lower reduction of cost delivery for a long time in that space, and I think it's appropriate that again collaboration exists in the administrative space to deliver what is effective healthcare delivery. You know, ultimately that impacts taxpayers who are partially funding it. So I think that collaboration at a services level and an administration level is important. And within our ecosystem, just the Dis-Chem ecosystem, I mean, we've effectively solved both. So, I mean, longer term, we see ourselves potentially playing in the administrative, in our administrative capacity, and obviously providing services to the NHR.
Okay, so when it comes to the primary healthcare side, you've got the Dis-Chem Health arm, and then you've got the Dis-Chem Life side, which we'll talk about shortly. But the Dis-Chem Health side, I mean, that's got a gap in a medical aid offering. What success are you seeing on that side?
So it's a medical insurance offering, so not fully medical aid, so very rich in benefits day to day. But certainly, I mean, we had kind of understood that to be an opportunity in the market, and we're selling into a market that we're educating. So, for example, people don't understand the difference between medical insurance and medical aid, and there's a fundamental difference. I mean, medical aid is still PMB driven, so there's a required level of prescribed benefits that are specific to in-hospital treatments, whereas medical insurance is really primary healthcare focused and addresses a lot of the day-to-day medical cover, which is more appropriate for younger individuals, you know, people starting kind of the investment in their healthcare journey. We've seen success in that space. I mean, policyholder counts have increased 120% year on year, and that's into a market that we're still building and educating at the same time. So very happy with the performance of kind of the business unit that plays into that opportunity.
A recent article ran with the line that you're going to be launching the life insurance in the first quarter of next year, a move that you believe will significantly disrupt the broader market. Talk to me about the opportunities on that side and what differentiates yourself from other, you know, players.
Sure. So, I mean, unlike the medical insurance space, you're right, the life space is relatively saturated. I think if you've watched the live space, you know, we've shifted from traditional providers who have who sell through a broker arm. We've also got wellness providers like some of the medical schemes that are offering life. Recently, we've had some of the banks, specifically Capitec, who've entered the life market. But I think when I've taken a step back and said, you know, what financial services make sense into our ecosystem, there are two questions that need to be answered. The first is, can you look at that financial services through a health lens? And secondly, the retail asset stack that we have, our pharmacies, our clinics, can they play a role in changing the dynamic of the product that we put in the market? So, I mean, a basic example would be, the way that the life market kind of premiumizes or penalizes individuals through additional premium if they have a chronic condition. Simplistically, they just ask you the question around, you know, do you have a chronic condition? We know through our data and through the chronic adherence management services that ensures people take their medication that, you know, someone who's adherent to their chronic medication, who comes into our clinics, who does their health assessments, is a healthy risk. Like, they manage their health well and they shouldn't be penalized from a premium perspective. We're able to understand that, we service that, and we can definitely be very, very competitive on premiums in that space. And then things like Extra, which is the reward program, which encourages benefits as you consume a life product, which is unconventional. If you think about a life product today, you take it at some point and you hope that you don't claim on it, right? So there's no touch point with the insurer throughout your life. And I think, you know, being a partner in the life insurance space is the role that we want to play longer term. So we do think we sit on some disruptive mechanisms that, you know, can take our share of the life market that exists today.
Let's talk property expansion strategy and how you're thinking about that property expansion strategy going forward, given the fact that in each of the provinces, I think you mentioned that you have a less than ideal relationship from a space perspective against competitors, especially when you look at Eastern Cape, Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. So how are you thinking about that property strategy?
Sure. So, I mean, I think fundamental to the business model is our pharmacy arm. So, I mean, ultimately, if we're able to win the script, you know, we are relatively good at containing or including the rest of the basket from consumers or patients. As a function of that, you know, pharmacy market share is the leading metric for me in terms of how successful we are in certain geographies. And when we look at Gauteng in terms of retail square meters on the ground, so you can do a store count. I mean, I'm more focused at retail square meters. If we compare ourselves to our biggest competitor, we have a one-to-one relationship. So as many retail square meters as they do on the ground. I think there, I mean, we are much bigger from a market share perspective in the pharmacy space and in the front shop core categories that we play. They are very competitive in other categories just because we are under-indexed on space. So the Eastern Cape, they have over three times the amount of space that we have. In KZN and the Western Cape, which are two other big markets, almost close on two times space. So property unlocks not only the ability for us to differentiate ourselves away from our competitor, but at the same time, you know, if you look at all of the other seven pillars of my strategy, it also unlocks value in each of those other seven. So it's probably the single most important strategic driver of our group going forward.
In terms of that strategy, what are you and the rest of the team working on for the rest of the period? What can we look out for?
So I think very much what we described. I mean, obviously, you know, retail pharmacy is our core. So the way that we think about creating value through price optimization to our consumers through pharmacy or healthcare delivery, that will continue. As we said, we're working hard on launching life, working hard on kind of understanding the consequences of some of the data that we sit on and how that informs some of the products that we put in place in the financial service and create benefits, really thinking hard about loyalty and how loyalty needs to be less defensive and more proactive in creating value. And then just rolling out space, as I've said previously, you know, fundamental to not only the property elements of our strategy, but the rest of it as well.
All right, Roy, thank you so much for your time. That's Roy Murray, who is the CEO of Dis-Chem, talking to us about not just their property expansion strategy, but also how they're looking at the healthcare ecosystem.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.